Today on More to Life, Thanksgiving Hotline. We can't help you with the turkey in the oven, but we can help you with the turkeys around your table. We'll share strategies for a more peaceful family gathering. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today is our Thanksgiving Hotline show. And no, we cannot help you with that turkey in the oven, but we can help you with the turkeys around your table. So we want to share strategies for a more peaceful family gathering this upcoming Thanksgiving. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, to be honest, you could probably help people with the turkey in the oven because you're one heck of a cook, and I'm looking forward to your turkey very, very much. But I think that the people around our table, those turkeys around our table, can be much more complicated than cooking that once-a-year turkey, you know, and it has the same kinds of steps to it. You know, with that turkey, you're like, how many days ahead do I have to defrost it? How many hours or minutes per pound does it have to be in there?
Do I have to worry about my uncle being marinated again this year?
Well, I was going to say, that's when we start moving into the relatives. Mm. It's those ideas of like, okay, to put on a Thanksgiving feast takes a lot of preparation and a lot of steps for the food. But we often don't do any preparation or steps to prepare for the people at the table getting along, behaving themselves, not driving us stark, raving mad. And it's helpful to actually prepare our hearts, our minds, and even our behaviors ahead of time, just as we prepare that meal ahead of time, so that we can all have a lovely holiday together instead of you working really hard and then everything falls apart because you didn't do the preparation around the people the way you did around the food.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you feeling a little anxious because past Thanksgivings with your family haven't gone great, and you're maybe a little worried that this year will be more of the same? Maybe there's someone at your Thanksgiving table whose political comments or strong opinions turn every conversation into an argument, and you'd like some help navigating that potential tension. Maybe you have a relative who always criticizes your faith, or your parenting, or your values, and you're not sure how to handle it without blowing up or shutting down. Maybe you've got some personality clashes, whether that's with an overbearing parent, a passive-aggressive sibling, or a relative who loves to stir the pot and make Thanksgiving feel more like an emotional minefield than a holiday, or any other situation that you aren't quite sure how to manage gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you manage those turkeys that you're going to be encountering around your Thanksgiving table at 877.
Oh, Eric is on form today. Thank
well
you,
done.
Eric.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, and Greg, you mentioned handling it all gracefully. And doesn't that add the extra element to dealing with all of those folks over Thanksgiving, over the Christmas holidays, all of those get-togethers because it's not just, oh, we want to get along, oh, I don't want to deal with the stress, which is universally felt, but it's also the pressure that we often feel to represent God well in those family gatherings, because if you're a person of faith, you want to be light. You want to bring joy. You want to be able to be virtuous. You want your family, if you're the only, especially if you're the only sort of Catholics in your family, you want your children to represent well. You want everything to go well. It's an extra layer of pressure we often feel, instead of taking on the extra layer of grace that we can take on when we approach it in a way we haven't before. So, what are you a little nervous about in the next weeks? Or if you want to push it out all the way to Christmas, what is concerning you about getting together with some of those people? Or, if you're not getting together, how are they going to take it? And what are you going to do about it? Let's talk about it today to give you a more peaceful, more joyful, more thankful Thanksgiving. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might reasonably ask, what could some theology have to do with helping me get through Thanksgiving?
Yeah, and I don't have time to read theology before I have to sit down with these people.
That's okay. So. We got you covered. So here's the thing. When St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a pretty big question. He basically said, you know, look, if we take everything that God's given us, creation, salvation history, scripture, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we all call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that family life is meant to be a gift. It's the primary way we learn to be disciples and to love like Christ and to grow in virtue.
Right. And yet, when people hear that, they can possibly feel deflated, right? At the very least. They look to the messiness in their own families and think, if I were a better Christian, you know, maybe everything could be magically wonderful.
Especially around the holidays. There's this secular fantasy that holiday magic, in big quotes and flashing letters, should make all problems just disappear without the work.
And that fantasy gets mixed up with the Christian vision of family life. You know, when we start feeling angry and frustrated at ourselves and our spouse and the kids, even extended family, for not doing what it takes to make the magic happen.
But God's call for families is to be a gift, isn't magic at all. It's a mission. A mission we can only accomplish through his grace and intentional, prayerful effort.
Well, exactly. So, look, sin affects everybody, including our families, and holiday magic can't undo that. Only grace can.
If we really want to experience family life as the gift it's meant to be, we have to bring that brokenness to God every day. First, by prayerfully naming the challenges we face as a family and asking God to help us make his vision a reality in our homes and extended family life.
Well, and second, we need to ask, Lord, what small steps do you want me to take today to move my family closer to what you're calling it to be? Now, look, you're not personally called to be the family savior, okay? But as a family member who is trying to follow Christ, it's good to ask God how he wants you to be an instrument of grace and healing in your family, both in this moment and possibly over time. Because healing our families is never an instant proposition. It's a lifelong project, walking with God and letting him heal what blocks us from the life and family he wants for us. So, let's talk it out. How can you have a more pleasant, grace-filled Thanksgiving celebration with your family. Today's show is titled Thanksgiving Hotline. We can't help with the turkey in the oven, but we can help with the turkeys around the table. So give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Maybe this year, thanks again, Eric, maybe this year you won't have to put yourself back together for days or weeks or months after that Thanksgiving gathering. Let us give you a helping hand today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, and as we prepare for this upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, we give you thanks for all of the gifts you've given to us, particularly the gift of family, even when it's sometimes a gift we'd like to return. But Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace and the patience and the wisdom to know how to confront and deal with our family members who we're getting together with over the next few days, so that we can glorify you, so that we can avoid unnecessary conflicts, so we can have the conversations that we do need to have to make this family time special and enjoyable, that we would be able to bear wrongs patiently, but address the things that need to be addressed in ways that would be helpful and draw us closer as a family and closer to you. We give you the gatherings with all of our family members, and we ask that you would let your peace reign in our hearts and homes this Thanksgiving. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, it's a Thanksgiving holiday. We're talking about all those family challenges that you might be running into over the next couple of days and get-togethers. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to manage those concerns that you've got about getting together with all the extended family over Thanksgiving. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hi, Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? Marie, are you there?
Eric, do we have Marie? I'm hearing something.
Oh, there she is.
There we go.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Marie.
What's your question for us?
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. So that's funny. My name is Lily, but my sister...
Oh, no wonder that you were in speaking. Well, apparently, it occurred you wrong.
We were trying to keep you anonymous. No, I apologize for that. So, Lily.
Okay, Lily, good to talk to you. What can we do for you today?
So, I just need to know how I can, you know, properly address or answer my mom without, you know, it getting heated. My mom is coming for Thanksgiving this year. This will only be the second time in 12 years.
Wow.
So what are you concerned about exactly? What do you think she would say or do that would trigger you?
Well, she has already said that she's only coming if she can make something. So no problem. I said you can make your yummy stuffing, and we're very small this year. You could even do a ham if you'd like. She said, okay, wonderful. Then she called later and said, can I bring paper plates? And I said, no, it's okay, Mom. Well, why? It's too much work. Why don't you want to eat on plates? You just like to show off.
Oh, mercy. I was about to say it sounded like she was trying really hard to be helpful by bringing food and offering paper plates, but as soon as she went to, you just like to show off, I understood the tension in your voice. So how often do these kind of passive-aggressive, helpful things that she wants to do switch over to being rude and degrading about you or your family? Is it pretty typical for her? Okay.
Yeah.
And how often do you
my answering machine, my voicemail on my phone, she says, "Oh, thank goodness you picked up. I don't want to hear that message."
Okay. And how often, I mean, you said this is only the second time in 12 years she's come to the holiday. Is do you guys get together regularly otherwise, or talk to her regularly normally, or what?
I try. but no, not usually. She usually chases me away.
So how often do you guys interact?
To my family. Well, I used to call her daily to say good morning on my way to work until she said, you know, you need to stop doing that because you're going to cause an accident. I said, Mom, if I knew I was driving.
How often do you guys interact though? Now then.
Well, I guess lately it's only been maybe weekly at the most.
Okay. And well, so look,
Hi, Mom, good morning.
It sounds to me like this is a long-standing issue that your mom has, and I don't think it has anything to do with you.
No,
I agree, which sounds 100%. Weird, right? Because how could it not have anything to do with me? She's saying it to me, but there are some people who have these sorts of what I like to call kind of weird love languages, and your mom's love language is criticism. And you might think, well, how is that a love language? Well, you know, there are some people who know that when they criticize another person, that person works harder to try to get their approval. And so that keeps that person in the relationship. And they don't have healthier ways to keep that person close. So they use criticism as a way of keeping you hopping so that you'll try harder to please her and try harder to kind of come around.
And even if that's not having the effect, even if you have, as you've been saying, Lily, been pulling back more, you went from talking to her every morning to once a week, she's not seeing that it's not drawing you in. She just knows that she's kind of taken your words and made you react in the moment, and that makes her feel a sense of power and connectedness in a weird way, and so it actually ends up working for her.
And the only way to win that game is to not play it. Because you can't, because you're not going to change her, right? And if you address it directly, you're probably going to get some version of, what are you talking about? Why are you making such a thing about it? I was just trying to make your life easier by suggesting that we have paper plates.
Yeah, exactly.
Why does everything have to be such a drama with you? Right? And then she flips it on you. So there's no way to directly address it or to change her. The only way you can handle it is to interpret it differently. And if you're able to say, you know what, this has nothing to do with me. Mom has been like this before I showed up, and she's going to be like this forever. This is her quote-unquote love language, and the only way I can avoid it is by reinterpreting what it means. Then you can let it go without taking offense at it. And when she says those kinds of things, I would just suggest to you saying, I love you, Mom, and then change the subject.
Exactly. Just say it. I love you, Mom. Maybe even with a little bit of tongue in your cheek. I love you, Mom. And then, gee, did you see that it's going to snow on Friday? Or, hey, did you see that the price of turkeys are down? Or whatever it is, just change it to something that has nothing to do with your relationship.
And although, you know, and that might sound, I don't know, frustrating because you want it to stop. But I don't see a way for you to get this to stop. And the more you try to address it directly, it kind of inadvertently buys into her, quote-unquote, love language, right? Because if you try to address it, then again, that gives her more opportunity to criticize you. Why are you making a thing about this? I was just. And why are you always thus and such? And how come you have such a thin skin? And how come I can't say anything around you, right? So, and then what do? You try even harder to get her to approve of you, right? So it's anything you do can and will be used against you with this particular quote-unquote love language. So the only thing you can really do is look at her and say, I love you, Mom, and then change the subject, recognizing that this is probably as good as it's going to get, but that gives you a way to deflect the tension and remind yourself what's really going on here. She's not actually picking on you. She's trying to draw you in a truly unhealthy way. And by you not playing the game, you're able to avoid the bigger conflict. I hope that helps. If there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. In fact, give us a call back after Thanksgiving. Let us know how it goes. If you'd like more advice on how to handle boundaries with your mom over the long haul, check out my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is all about setting charitable boundaries that leave the door open for healing while insulating you from the drama. Again, the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. And with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls today on our Thanksgiving Hotline show as we talk about handling those family issues over Thanksgiving. How do you manage all of that tension and potential conflict gracefully? We're here for you. 877-573-573. 7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights on how to be a little more secure going into the Thanksgiving holiday. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is the Thanksgiving Hotline. We can't help with the turkey in the oven, but we can help with the turkeys around your table. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll share some strategies for a more peaceful family gathering. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. So you wanted to talk a little bit about how we could go into Thanksgiving feeling a little more secure in spite of our concerns about the family gathering.
Well, what I always recommend to people is that they be really explicit in their own minds, in preferably in writing, and then by extension with their family members, their immediate family members, about what measuring stick they're going to be using to measure their own success, right? You know, what I often find with these extremely stressful events, right, where there are lots of different people interacting and lots of different willpowers and viewpoints and everything else, is that one of the big reasons people get muddled is they are, however unconsciously, measuring themselves by several different standards of success at the same time, right, and then not really meeting any of them. So, for instance, I was talking to a woman just the other day, obviously not going to give away any identifying information here, but pretty general experience, universally relatable. But, you know, I was talking to her about some anxiety that she was having about seeing family over the Thanksgiving holiday. And she was, you know, I asked her, well, what do you want to get out of it, right? What is it that you, if you got out of this event, that you'd be able to walk away on the other side of Thanksgiving feeling successful, feeling good about yourself no matter what happened, right? And she came back with a whole bunch of different answers. She said, well, I would want to see, you know, part of me is there wanting to see how mom and dad are getting along because I knew they were having a hard time. And part of me wants to be helpful while I'm there. And then part of me also wants to have a good time with my kids. And then I said, whoa, that's too many things. Right.
Yeah, I can almost picture her trying to juggle a lot of balls when she has that many goals. Sure.
Right, exactly. And we don't imagine consciously that we have that many goals. But we just go in wanting so many different things. And I said, let's narrow it down. If you can only get one of those things, which one are you going to be able to come back on Monday feeling good about yourself, being able to say, hey, self, you did a good job, even if every other part of that was difficult? Well, she said, well, in her case, it was the I want to be able to spend, you know, quality time with my kids part. I said, great. Well, then when your mom gets mad at you, or when your sister brings the weird, you know, side dish or whatever it is, you're not going to pay attention to that because you're just focusing on taking care of your own kids. And that's your goal. That's your standard of success. But other people, they might say, well, my standard of success is that I do want to be helpful or whatever. And that's fine. I think just choosing which one you're going to be evaluating yourself according to is really, really important. And then letting the people closest to you know what that is. So, for instance, if you have a spouse who you can have as a kind of accountability partner, or even letting your kids know in an age-appropriate way, hey, guys, like, there's going to be a lot going on here, but the main thing we're going to be focusing on this weekend is blank, right? Suddenly we can all kind of walk away feeling accomplished in the thing that we already specified as being our chosen game without having to sweat every other little thing that maybe went a little bit awry.
A really important insight and
really helpful.
Clarifying what success would look like. I want to thank you so much for those suggestions. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I invite them to come on over to our website at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about all the ways that our team can help listeners have a more peaceful, joyful family life. And with that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Are you concerned about tension over the Thanksgiving holiday? Let's talk about how to make it more peaceful and grace-filled. 877-573-7825.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are three. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first two criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it's our Thanksgiving Hotline Show. We can't help you with the turkey in the oven, but we can help with the turkeys around your table. So give us a call at 877-573-7825, and we'll share strategies for a more peaceful family gathering. 877-573-7825.
Before we take another question, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, KPIM 102.9 FM, serving Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, is celebrating 11 years with us this week.
Congratulations to Adam Minahan and his great team at St. Michael Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to your EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you're supporting that station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life. And once again, congratulations to Adam Minahan and his great team at St. Michael Radio and all of those folks who make Catholic radio possible, especially you. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. On our Thanksgiving Hotline Show, call up and tell us, are you feeling a little anxious because past Thanksgivings with your family haven't gone great, and you're worried that this year might be more of the same? Is there somebody at your Thanksgiving table whose political comments or strong opinions turn every conversation into an argument, and you're wondering, how do you navigate that gracefully? Maybe you've got a relative who is always critical of your faith or your parenting or your values, and you're not sure how to handle it without blowing up or shutting down. Maybe their personality clashes with an overbearing parent or a passive-aggressive sibling or a relative who loves to stir the pot or make Thanksgiving feel more like an emotional minefield than a holiday. Let's talk it out together and help you find grace-filled ways to manage Thanksgiving. 877-573-7825.
Right now, we're talking with Angel. I do not have a place where she's calling from, but we can't wait to talk to her.
Angel, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you have a more pleasant Thanksgiving with your family?
Oh my gosh, this is hard, guys. My daughter
okay.
was married in the Catholic Church.
All right.
My daughter was married in the Catholic Church to a guy, and they were very happily married until my husband ran off with her mother-in-law, and we divorced.
Whoa!
Yeah, they got married.
Okay, so I need to clarify this, make sure I heard it right. So your husband ran off with your son-in-law's mom?
Yes, and they married.
Okay, and how long ago was this, Angel?
Oh, it's been about maybe 8 or 10 years.
Okay, so this is something you've all had to live with for a while. Okay, so go on. What's the next step, and how is this affecting Thanksgiving?
Well, my daughter then divorced her husband.
Sure.
And she married another guy. My son married a girl who is now, it's really, really complicated. My son married a girl, and her cousin is married to my mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's sister's kid. And we're all going to be sitting at the same table, and they're very argumentative. And my daughter and my son with their families are going to be walking on eggshells. And I sort of am too, because I'm engaged to a different person now. And I'm afraid of,
And you're all getting together? All of these people are getting together for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Well, the first question is why? But okay.
What's the thinking here? I'm just curious. What's the...
I'm afraid to say anything. If I see the turkey taste good, I'm afraid there's going to be...
Yeah, no, I can't imagine.
I mean, in all honesty, there are so many hurtful, shattered relationships here. We really don't understand why you're all getting together.
Honestly, what is the goal here? Like, why was this the plan?
My kids have always been used to a really warm and loving family life. I'm half Italian, and everybody's kind of dying off. But, you know, they're in their 30s, and they want to recreate a family Thanksgiving that could be peaceful with everybody there. But, I mean, and they don't...
Even though mom and dad are divorced with different people, like... You know, you talk about this warm family life, but it didn't play out that way. So everybody just wants to sort of pretend that everything is great for the holiday. Yes. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And one of the women is a very explosive, kind of mousy woman, and she, my daughter's mother-in-law. And my son is afraid of her in some ways, because she just gets crazy. And
what's your relationship with your kids?
Oh, my kids are fabulous. And on my side of the family, you know, we've been able to have warm and loving, you know, huge relationships with huge cousins.
So have you talked to them about your concerns about all this and just sort of talked about, you know, how you guys can get through it together? Like, you know, you and them?
They have just explained to me that they didn't know if they should do it in shifts, or if they should just keep their mouth shut, or can we make this work? And I'm like, I'm not going to say a word. I don't know what to do. I mean, they're trying.
Well,
so
no, I think that's a fair question. I mean, I think that you and your so you know, let's go back to the Jacob segment here. Yeah, if I were going to suggest a goal for you, it would be to come out feeling closer to my kids.
Right.
And if everybody else wants to be crazy or nasty or whatever, that's their business. But I'm going to focus on my relationship with my kids.
So you're not going to listen to the crazy woman. You're just going to block it out, and you're going to focus on your own children and affirming them and being kind to them. So the crazy lady goes off, starts saying stuff, and you focus on your daughter, your son, whoever, or your children there, and you're like, oh, can I get you more stuffing? How was your week?
Well, you're
just focusing on them.
And talking ahead of time about that,
yes.
Right? And so, for example, saying to them, you know, if they say, you know, how do we handle this? It's like, well, you know, what would be the easiest for you to handle? You know, if you're, you know, and again, clarify for them, if their goal is getting through this with as little drama as possible, then saying, so what would help you do that? You know, do you want to do it in shifts? Would that work better for you, or do you want to just do it all together and like get it in and out in an hour and a half? I mean, what, you know? And then also, I would suggest having an activity that you and the kids could do, like a game, for example, and the other people could join if they wanted to. But you were going in, you know, with the plan of we're going to play this game.
Something that's not highly competitive, like don't bring out Monopoly. Or
you know,
something.
But something that a card game or whatever that could include the other people if they wanted to play, but wouldn't necessarily require them to participate, because having some activity is a great way to avoid bigger conflict, because you all have something to concentrate on other than politics or family drama or other craziness. So those are the two big suggestions, well, three, I guess, big suggestions I'd have. Number one, clarify what your goal is going in, and I would suggest it being you connecting with your kids and having a nice time with them. Secondly, having a conversation ahead of time about what are some things that you guys want to do to handle potential problems that might come up. And you might even think a little bit ahead about, you know, well, if so-and-so says the kind of things they usually say, how would I want to respond to that? And really write it out. You know, try to anticipate some of those more predictable, obnoxious things that could go on. Write out your response and mentally rehearse it before you get there. And then finally, plan an activity that you and your kids can do, that other people could participate in if they wanted to, but wouldn't necessarily require them to. That allows you all to have something to focus on other than all the crazy that's going to be going on here.
The other thing I'm going to add is you personally, you can't control everybody else, but I would caution you. do not drink alcohol during this meal. Do not allow yourself to be, you know, changed in any way in your ability to think clearly and react in a way that is not over the top.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to come out of this saying to yourself, I did everything I could to connect with my children and not get sucked into drama. So that's going to be, I'm not saying you are a drinker, I'm saying that's a very important thing for all of us to remember, because that allows us to stay sort of in that kind of prayerful, Lord, help me through this, Lord, give me the right reactions, instead of saying, oh, well, if I could just numb some of this, I'll be fine.
I will say, last suggestion, and based on what Lisa was just talking about, if somebody says anything, you want to be in the habit of just offering up a quick prayer, you know, Lord,
in your mind,
Lord, yeah. Help me know what to say, you know, and just take that pause, because that brief pause combined with that prayer allows your brain to catch up with your feelings, and you're going to be less likely to just say something if you just get in the habit of pausing and praying before you respond to anything that anybody says over the holiday.
You kind of listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, because the Holy Spirit may say nothing. Don't say anything.
Help me respond to this.
Keep your own counsel.
Gracefully.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Angel, I hope that you have a blessed Thanksgiving. This is quite a project you've taken on. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. And if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us in the meantime. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up.
Just a little encouragement for this Thanksgiving holiday to remember to take the long view on your family drama and family issues. Don't try to solve it all this Thanksgiving. Focus on getting through as peacefully as possible and using this time to build some rapport so that you can work on those deeper family issues that you might want to deal with over the course of the year, instead of making it all about working it all out for this one day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our Thanksgiving hotline as we help you deal with the turkeys around your table this holiday season. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back with your calls in just a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Are you feeling overwhelmed lately, carrying burdens no one else seems to see?
You're not alone. And this Giving Tuesday, Ave Maria Radio wants to offer you a special gift.
On December 2nd, we're dedicating a special Mass and lifting up the prayer intentions of our entire radio family.
You've been there for us, helping us proclaim the gospel and share God's love with others.
And now we want to be there for you.
So visit AveMariaRadio.net to share your prayer requests.
And on December 2nd, let's lift each other up in hope.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/ave and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And of course, today's our Thanksgiving hotline show as we talk about managing family conflict and concerns about the upcoming holiday. But if you are looking for a resource to help you have a more joyful, peaceful family by Christmas, I really encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home Community. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Download the Catholic H-O-M app, and you can get daily parent coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches, plus tons of creative resources to help you build a more loving, caring, and connected family life, especially in this upcoming Advent season. Discover how you can take advantage of the grace of the Advent season to have a more peaceful family by Christmas. Download the Catholic HOM app and learn how you can get the support you need to be a more confident, effective Catholic parent and experience your faith as the source of the warmth in your home. I hope that you'll become part of the Catholic HOM community, and we'll continue that conversation there. With that, we are taking your calls right now on our Thanksgiving hotline. We can't help you with the turkey in the oven, but we can help you with the turkeys around your table this Thanksgiving. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Chris, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Chris, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Well, I'm trying to help be a peacemaker. Our daughter married to an only child man whose father passed away just before they got married 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Her husband refuses to give up a Friday coffee date with his mom, with the exception of their honeymoon. His mom has been in their life for every holiday. They just bought a new house. They're trying to get it established. And our daughter says, I would like us to have our own Thanksgiving and Christmas. We can do something else with your mom on a day other than those days. But I want to have something to celebrate with you and me without your mom, because she's been in our life, and we've always celebrated these holidays, and he refuses, like I said, refuses to give up these Friday coffee dates. There's a whole lot more. I get this information secondhand.
And she's sharing this with you directly?
She's sharing this with my wife, and my wife in turn shares it with me.
I see.
So
you're wondering what the two of you can do to support her?
Yes.
So, a couple of things. So first of all, I think that, okay, I understand the concern, right? So and there may very well need to be some better boundaries with the between your son-in-law and his mom. I would suggest approaching the conversation in a different way. Instead of making it about how your daughter needs her husband to spend less time with his mom, make it about how can we make sure we're getting time for each other.
Right.
So it's not I want you to give up the Friday coffee dates. It's I'd really like to get more time with you. How can we fit that into our schedule?
So, for example, this is just an example, but I want to give you a picture of this in your mind. He continues his Friday coffee dates with mom, but your daughter and her husband have a Friday night date every single week. They're making sure they're getting time to do fun things together, to pray together, to have a relationship, so that mom-in-law, who shockingly became a widow right before this relationship all happened, doesn't have to get sidelined, especially for holidays. But your daughter and son-in-law have at least one romantic dinner out a month. They make sure they have specific dates, just the two of them.
Or even
they're
with
creating a family
life for the two of them.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But or even with the holidays, right? I mean, you know, where's mother-in-law going to go,
yeah,
right? So what? But your daughter could have a conversation about, you know, I think it's fine that your mom comes, but I would like us to have some of our own traditions as well. What are some things that we could do around Thanksgiving or around Christmas that would really be special just for you and I? So it's not a matter of buying into the competition with his mother, but it's a matter of focusing on their relationship and what they need to do as well. Now, as part of that conversation, he may realize on his own that, you know, they don't have time to be a couple, or they don't have time to do these things. And that is a kind of a backdoor into the conversation of, well, maybe I do need to, you know, curtail some time with my mom. But if you threaten that relationship directly, you're going to get defensiveness right up front, as opposed to it being a more productive conversation about how do we take care of each other and how do we make sure our relationship is preserved.
In any situation like this, whether it's what you're talking about here, Chris, whether it's folks that call us and say, you know, I can't get my kids or my spouse off their devices, you know, how do I get rid of them? Whenever we lead with, if I could just get rid of this perceived hurdle, everything will be fine, it won't be fine. We have to lead with, if not this, then what? What is really causing this concern for me? What your daughter is really feeling is that she doesn't have enough connection with her spouse. So she wants to lead with, how do we build up our marriage? How do we feel more in love and stronger and more connected to each other? Just as if somebody was calling and saying, you know, I want the kids off the phones. What are you going to do once they're off of them? It don't leave a vacuum. Because when we leave any kind of vacuum, we just feel a sense of, oh no, something's really, really wrong. And then we blow up relationships with each other, not just with the person or the thing we think is in our way.
I will say that if you suggest this to her and she either can't make that conversation happen or he rejects this more positive solution-focused approach, then that would be an indication that there needs to be some counseling to really talk about the boundaries that they can have as a couple, that they can work on their respect for being able to listen to each other's concerns better instead of trying to compete for the perceived limited resources that are available. So if they would like to work with somebody around that and find faithful ways to respond to these challenges, I'd encourage you to then pass along our information about CatholicCounselors.com, where they can work with somebody. But I would suggest starting with this more positive, solution-focused approach. Make it less about his relationship with his mom and more about the need for them together as a couple to get the time they need to create certain rituals and traditions and experiences that allow them to feel like they're giving the marriage the time and effort that it needs. Thanks so much for the call, Chris. And we don't have time to take the call, but I'm going to go ahead and respond to it anyway. Dorothy in Michigan has a question. She says she's the only conservative in her family, and everyone's coming over to her house for Thanksgiving, and sometimes she just wants to hide from all the conversations. How to prepare for all the political topics? This is one of those times where bearing wrongs patiently is the most effective way to go. And I'm going to give you two tips here. The first one is realize that you're not going to win anybody over on this. So you want to treat those conversations as white noise. But I would also prepare an activity, a game, some kind of fun thing to do that occupies everybody's time and lets them talk about something other than politics and differences of opinion about things. If you can have a fun family game, or project of some sort that occupies everybody's time, that allows you all to connect with each other and have a pleasant time without getting into the big fights. Where these conversations tend to be problematic is when you're all just sitting around with nothing to do after dinner. Then it becomes...
Some people just try to fill the gap with noise, and they think, oh, well, this is what everybody talks about because it's what the media pushes on us. Let's just discuss this.
So, for example, over dinner, you can look it up on Google, right? Just Thanksgiving dinner games.
Yeah.
Right? Or you can make it about, let's all share some things that we're grateful for and some of our best Thanksgiving memories ever. And you just talk about that over the table. And then afterward, you play this family game. And again, you can just Google family Thanksgiving Thanksgiving games and come up with lots of different ideas. They don't have to be a board game. It could just be, you know, just a fun kind of, you know, there are different activities.
Yeah, our son-in-law's mom is the queen of this, and every time she brings something like this, we have such a great time.
But the more you can program the time, the more you can avoid those conflicts. If something does come up, remind yourself that you're not going to convince anybody of your side by joining in that conversation. Be a gracious host. Let it go. Find the quickest opportunity you can to change the subject and really focus again on really programming the time so that you all have things to talk about and things to do that make it less likely that everybody's going to get caught up in a big political discussion.
And remember, interior prayer. You silent interior prayer. They are all going off with their opinions, and you got, please Jesus, 10 fingers. You don't need to pull out your rosary. You can just sit there and do your Hail Marys on each finger under the table. They don't need to know that you're praying for peace and family harmony and enlightenment.
Sorry we didn't have time to take your call, Dorothy, but I hope that these suggestions will give you a little bit of a leg up on how to handle this more effectively. That goes for you listeners as well. If you are looking for ways to manage Thanksgiving, I hope these suggestions will help you. With that, we're out of here. Have a blessed holiday, and we will talk to you tomorrow about having gratitude for the season.